2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Father, we ask that you would anoint this word today, Lord, that you would re-energize it in our lives as we apply it to each one of us individually. In the name of Jesus, amen. End of March 2011, as so many other ministers and pastors and denominations and beliefs across the world has been, I stood before the Louisiana District Council, and Doug Fullenwater was the superintendent at the time. He was the pastor who was delivering the message that night. And during that ordination service, these scriptures were used. And it's something that as ministers, we have that charge. And I used this Bible. I've been having this Bible for many, many years. And this was the Bible that my presbyter at that time had in his hand. And when they said, preach the word, they handed this Bible off to me. And they prayed over me. And I had the whole little outfit on, the gown and everything as they gave me this discharge. But through the years, this has been something more than what just an ordained or a licensed minister should receive. The reality is we have all been called to preach the word. And that's what I want to talk about this morning in a very purposeful point, because as we head to the nursing home, as my wife teaches those kids, they need to understand that the church is ours. That this gospel message is something that we all possess and that we all have responsibility of. And it's not just on the shoulders of one person, or it's not just on the shoulders of a leadership team or just certain individuals. We all have this. And so I'm going to speak on this thought of preach the word. And I pray that it would speak to each one of our hearts and lives this morning. And that is the very first point that I have today, is preach the word. And I put in parentheses, use words when necessary. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of words for your example and your testimony to shine forth. There are things that are very true and very relevant that we can take from that in a whole lot of different aspects of life. If you're married, then your mannerisms and ways that you deal with things should be evident when you are around people of the opposite sex. I just started watching, I don't know if you, those of you who watched the new Left Behind movie with Nicolas Cage, every time he would get on he was a pilot, every time he'd get on the plane, he would leave his wedding ring in his car in the parking lot from the place that he would live. And I thought, why? If he dies in a plane crash, his wife could still have his ring. I think she would much rather just have him. But so many times, you know, there are different things that we try and leave behind so we don't identify, so we can put that on the side. But that's not being passionate. That's not really being who we are. We need to, in order for us to preach the word and understand this thought of use words when necessary, we have to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with Jesus. As you look around and you see different people with different ideas and different thoughts. I remember in school when I was playing baseball. I remember times when I was trying to build something or trying to learn something, or even now recently when I want to get into a study or whatever, I apply myself wholly. And there have been some weeks when I'm trying to prepare a message, and because of all of the distraction, I tell my wife, TV's going, Mike is going crazy. My two older boys are just, and I just say, look, I got to go. And I go and lock myself in the room and close myself off to the, and sometimes they even turn the box fan on so I can drown out all of the noise. Because I need to have that alone time with Him. And when you are passionate and when you really apply yourself to something, you give yourself wholly to it. When you enjoy something, or when you really are into the work that you have, you can block out all other things. How many of you have that great attribute of selective hearing? Right? I mean, you can tune everything out when you're concentrating, and even if it's there, it's just ambient noise, right? I'm noticing that Micah's like that. He's laying and he's watching Doc McStuffins or Callian, Sheriff Callian, Wild West, or whatever it is. And I could be right in his ear saying, Micah, Micah. He doesn't even bat an eye to look that way. He is. It's a guy trait. So fixated on what we do. When we get fixated on Jesus, then you know what? It doesn't matter what's happening around us. I know you've heard me say this before, but it's so true and so relevant. When we are so fixated on Jesus, it doesn't matter what the people around us are doing. It doesn't matter what doctors say. It doesn't matter if we get laid off from a job. It doesn't matter if something breaks down. It doesn't matter if we don't feel good. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. We're in love with Jesus. And I've heard people say in the church, and you may have said this, and I don't know if I've heard anybody in this church say this, and maybe you have, but you might have the thought, now, brother, if I hit my finger with a hammer while I'm working, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I'm just going to say you need to fall in love with Jesus just a little bit more. Uh-oh. I don't know what I would do if the doctors told me this. Do you really believe that God holds today in His hand and He knows what's best for you? We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to really believe in Sorry. There was a spider web coming from the ceiling down right there and I saw it. We need to really fall in love with Jesus. We need to really believe what we say we believe. When we pray for somebody, we need to believe it. We need to understand it. As we head to the nursing home tonight, I'm just telling you, at the very end, I'm going to ask you, even if you don't go and pray out loud and start speaking to somebody, I'm going to ask you to just lay your hand on somebody and pray for somebody. Believe the prayer. If somebody says, hey, I'm hurting right here. Sister Annabelle this morning said, my shoulder's kind of hurting. I'm going to see the doctor. I've got some bone spurs. As I was praying for her, as we prayed corporately, I believe, and I don't know if God did it or what, but I was sensing those bone spurs. I was seeing those little spikes inside of her shoulder and on those bones, and I was envisioning in my mind those things becoming dull and becoming flat. Believe what we say. Fall in love with Jesus. There's no way that we can preach the word. There's no way that we can use words when necessary, live the life, if we don't really love Christ. Fall in love with Jesus. Recognize His power and His authority that's in His name. And understand that there's no dominion, there's no other person, there's no other entity that can come against His name. There's no dream that you can have, no nightmare. There's no fear. I know some of us have different types of fear. I don't know if I have a fear of falling or if I have a fear of the sudden drop at the end of the fall. Some of us have fear of darkness. Some of us have fear of critters. Some of us have fear of a lot of different things. But there's no fear in Christ. Draw closer to Him. Understand the power and the authority in Him, and when those things come against you, some of you would quickly say, I'm afraid of snakes. And we have this vision in the Bible where Paul reached down building a fire in the book of Acts, and that viper grabbed a hold of his hand and he just shook him off. Perfect love cast out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And we understand that in God, He wants to bless us, and He wants to use us, and He wants to do some things. So fall in love with Jesus. Recognize the authority or the power that's in His name. And as a disciple, we have to gain the knowledge of what He said. I believe somebody said in Sunday school this morning that we have to have a teacher. And if we have to have teachers to help us understand and to know, then they have to be sent. And if somebody is sent, they have to be anointed and sent by God to be able to do the thing. And so we have to gain knowledge of what He said. We have to study to show ourselves approved. A believer, somebody who rightly divides the word of truth, somebody who understands what His word says and doesn't take things out of context like so many people do today. And they form all sorts of religions because they want to take this scripture or this thought and they want to build upon that. Gain knowledge of what He said and study and teach others. Disciple. Help others understand who He is and what He has done. That is something that you've heard me say since we had our mid-year meeting last year in August. I said we need to get into a disciple stage where we actually hands-on teach other believers, new people, young people, what it is to follow Christ. Because some of you have been following Christ for a long time. But there are some that are new. They need to understand, they need to know why you've kept the faith for so long. They need to understand what it is that has made you a pillar in the church. We need to teach others. And then we need to preach the word with authority and with passion. Don't water down the word. Amen? Don't sugarcoat it. Don't just tell people what they want to hear. Don't always just have, and I'm not saying that having a bless me, pat me on the back kind of speech is a bad thing. But give the word exactly how the word was meant to be given. You think about Peter in that moment when he looked at Christ and said, there's no way you're going to die. There's no way they're going to come and take you. And he looks at Peter and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. What a stern word that Christ used. What a very direct and hard, harsh way that Peter could have taken that when Christ was looking beyond Peter and seeing the spirit that was behind the words that was whispering in Peter's ear. We need to preach the word. We need to preach it with authority. We need to preach it with passion. We need to believe in those things that we say. We can't say you shouldn't do this and yet we do that. We can't say that we shouldn't want or we shouldn't do or we shouldn't behave or we shouldn't say and yet we substitute. You know, I'll get on a little soapbox just for a minute. And I know that even I in my own vocabulary use some words that are just substitution words. I think that all of us do it. But in the church today, OMG should not be. Everybody got OMG? Anybody not understand OMG? The Bible says not to take God's name in vain, but it's such a part of society, and it's something that everybody does, and it's so easy if you text or if you do social media or whatever just to say, OMG. Don't tell somebody they shouldn't speak certain words. Profanity, ugly words, different little slang things, and you do some things that you shouldn't say. You shouldn't say either. Be passionate about what you say and preach the word. Preach it true. Preach it in its purest form. Allow the Spirit to give you the passion behind it and believe in what you say. I can say as a preacher, there have been times when I've just gotten up and gone through the motions. Because I knew it was a word that needed to be preached, and I knew it was in the Word, and I knew that it was something that could be said and could be grasped. And afterwards, I look at Dan and I say, man, that didn't do it for me. The Word still has the anointing and the power, but how much was it inside of me? That's why as I hear Angie teach Sunday school, and she says, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. I understand that. Because as we go through this, and as I go through a sermon, God gives me something to preach and something to say and something to do. I have to see how it applies in my life. I have to preach the Word with authority and with passion. So preach the Word. Use words when necessary. The second thing that is charged in this scripture is to be ready. Be ready in season. You know, it's real easy to be ready in season. It's real easy. My first little sub-point under that is at the appointed time. It's very simple for me to know that at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, I have to get up to preach. I remember being scared, fearful, as a staff pastor when I would get to church. And there was a couple of times when the pastor was there, didn't get there until after I got there. And so as a pastor, I have in the back of my mind, oh my, if he doesn't show up, I have to preach, right? What in the world am I going to do? It's easy to have an appointed time. It's easy for me to know. I have an app on my phone that I haven't been using very regularly, but it tells, because I know I have to be ready for my Wednesday night Bible study, and I want to be ready for it by Tuesday. I know that I have to preach on Sunday morning. I want to have the message of what I'm going to preach prepared, at least in my mind, by Tuesday or Wednesday, so that I can be dwelling on it and thinking about it and stuff. I want to actually have an outline prepared. I want to have it prepared by Friday. Sometimes it doesn't happen until Saturday. But I know I have to do it. It's easy for me to do stuff on it at the appropriate time. I know that when I show up at First Assembly of God in Winfield, that I'm going to have to preach. It's just expected. That's why y'all voted me in. That's why I came to this place. It's easy to be ready in season at the proper time, at the appointed time, at the proper place. It's easy for me to be prepared in season with a pure heart. I can know my emotions are in check, that everything that I've dealt with in the past week is put together, and I have brought myself into this little box, into this little niche. And so when I come together, I can present this message, and I can smile as I do it, and I can move around a little bit and do all of the things that just comes naturally to me. How many of you know it's easy to be ready in season? It's a whole different ball game to be ready out of season. Because out of season, it's a time when you don't believe that seed sowing or harvest is very manageable. You might not think that it's the right time. You know, I've said that I wanted to garden, I wanted to plant something. I still haven't done it. There are appropriate times in seasons, weeks of the year, that you plant this seed or that seed for it to actually grow. And so out of season, when you think about preaching the Word, you think, this isn't my time. I'm not prepared. I haven't been a Christian long enough. I haven't gone to the church long enough. I don't know the Bible like some other people. This is an out-of-season time. And so for you to think that I am going to be able to sow seed, or if you are really going to believe that I'm going to understand what it is to go and have a harvest, it's not manageable. And a lot of people in church, throughout the course of my life, throughout the course of your life, they have been in that place where, you know what, I just don't think this is the time. I don't believe this is the place. I don't believe this is going to work. I don't know how it's going to happen. It's difficult for us to be ready in season. It's difficult to be ready in seasons when you're unknown. Sometimes I like going to certain things because nobody knows me. I've said before, when I go to youth camp, everybody knows me. So I show up and people, they come and they hug my neck and they talk to me, and I'm somebody on the youth camp campus. When I go to men's retreat, I'm nobody. So I could just go in and I can sit in the middle of the crowd and some people know me, but I don't have any position. And so I could just kind of blend in and not have anything to do. Those moments are great when you could just kind of get away and blend into the crowd. But the reality is, when you think about preaching the word, it doesn't matter whether you're unknown. We talked this morning about Peter and Cornelius. Peter was an unknown, except maybe by word of mouth because of his relation to Christ in the Gentile world. And yet he was called to go and to do, and God had to show him a sign to say, hey, you know what, the things that I say are clean. And it doesn't matter what you believe about it. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. We have to be ready, even in those moments when we're unknown, when people don't know who we are, when we're sitting there and we say, hey, you know what, I have this word, and God has given me, and I don't know why He has given this to me. I don't know what it is going on in your life. How many of you have had somebody just come up and didn't know any of your business, and yet God gave them a word to speak to you, and it was right on point with what you needed to hear? It happened just within the last month in this church. You need to be willing to put yourself aside and say, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if it's out of season. It doesn't matter if I think this is the right time, if I believe that I can sow my seed. I don't believe I don't care that it might not feel like it's harvest time. I don't care if anybody knows me. I don't care about experience or training or any of that stuff. What I know is that God is calling me to do this. Man, what a great thing it is to know that the Holy Spirit will give you the things to say right in the moment. He'll help you understand what it is that needs to be expressed in real time. It isn't something that you have to study up on and prepare. I have one guy that I know, and I think I mentioned him before. He's just a 17, 18. He's somebody that doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any better. So he shows up at his school's Christian Association meetings, and he hadn't prepared any message. He hadn't, first of all, went and found some scripture for the day or read my utmost for his highest or any of that kind of stuff to know what he was going to speak. He just gets up in front of people and says, okay, God, what do they need to hear? God will give you the words to say in the right moment, in the right time, and it'll be just enough. You know, Justin picks on me every now and then because there are a lot of times that I believe I only preach for about 30 minutes. And he tells me, he just kind of looks at me and laughs like, yeah, right. And I know that there's been a few times that I've preached 45, 50 minutes. And I don't apologize for it. But they're rare, few and far between. And so that's a good thing to know whenever you come to church. I'm not going to preach to you for an hour, hour and a half like some preachers would do to you. But when you get in the moment and you allow the Spirit to flow through you, it doesn't matter if you have a 10-minute sermon. There's been a couple of times in the church that I've only preached for 20 minutes. And I know you're going to go home and start praying, God, just give them a few more 20-minute sermons. Just a few more. When God gives you something to speak, it doesn't matter how long you say it, it's the quality of the words. And God can use one statement to impact somebody's life forever. And he can also use an entire message. You know, Paul, in one of the stories told in the Bible, Paul preached all night long. How many of you would stay with me if I kept preaching hour upon hour, moment upon moment? Well, brother, I got to get up to go to work. Oh, that's my stomach growling. be ready in season and out of season. Third thing I want you to see this morning is delivery is of the utmost importance. The Bible says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. The Bible tells us, first of all, to reprove or to correct. You know, there are a lot of people that don't understand or don't know the Bible, or they interpret it incorrectly. We've been given the discharge, the authority of the word. When somebody hears something, when somebody has read something and it's not correct, that we should go and we should help them to see that this word means something different or applies to some other thing. The Holy Spirit here is inspiring this word to say, hey, you know what? There are moments that we need to correct the things that are believed. There are things that I have been taught as an Assemblies of God kid, grown up in the church now for 35 years in the Assemblies of God, that could be things that are just believed, not necessarily biblical. It's just something that has been believed for generation after generation after generation. It's story. The statement that I made, preach the word, use words when necessary. That statement is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi or something like that. There's no proof that he said it. There are things in the church that we apply ourselves to, or we found as gospel. It's not really gospel. There are some statements that we make that we try and say that's in the Bible, when really Aristotle or Socrates or somebody else actually said them, and we really believe. And it's good wisdom-based words that we can apply to our lives, but it's not biblical. Sometimes we need to reprove or correct someone else. Sometimes we need to rebuke. We know a rebuke is an expression of sharp disapproval or criticism. There are times and there are seasons when we was talking this morning and I thought about it. It was kind of a funny rebuke, and so I use this. Somebody in a church that I've pastored within the past 10 years came to me and said, well, Brother John, I don't eat pork. I said, well, why you don't eat pork? Because the Bible says not to eat pork. I said, sister, God told Peter otherwise. Don't want to hear anything from me. Shut me off. That's just a silly little, but sometimes we have to let somebody know that what they believe is not correct. What they're trying to preach or what they're trying to teach someone else is not right. The reason why all of these cults and all of these belief systems are out there is because not enough people are willing to stand up and preach the word purely from what the Bible says. I was standing with somebody before, and they asked me, they said, I forgot what the words they used, but would you pray with me? I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll pray with you. And I said, what do you want me to pray? And she said, well, pray the Our Father. I was like, well, I could pray the Our Father with you. I mean, I could quote the prayer, but what do you want me to pray for? And by the time that conversation was over, she didn't want me to pray with her at all, because I was actually going to pray, and she was used to recanting certain lines. People need to understand and know, and it might be through a rebuke, that the way that they believe or who God is, that they really believe that He is not correct. So the delivery is of the utmost importance. There have probably been moments, I don't know that anybody's ever come up to me at the end of a sermon and just absolutely staunchly disagreed with something that I've said, but I'm sure that there have been moments when I've been in the middle of a preaching thing and I may have warned you to pick your feet up because I'm about to step on them. I know there have been moments like that. I know that there are moments like that in my life when I'm going through it and I'm saying, man, this applies to me. I need to get out of the way so that God can do what He wants to do. Sometimes we have to rebuke. And sometimes we have to exhort, we have to encourage, strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. We need to be in that place when we preach the word to be ready, no matter what time it is, to reprove or to correct, to rebuke or to reprimand, to exhort or to encourage somebody to do what God has called them to do. I've been privileged through the years of coming across people who will come to me and say, "Hey, I really feel like I need to do this." And I'll say, "Let's do it." But nobody else has ever let me. I'm not anybody else. Let's do it. We need to encourage some people. We need to be comfortable enough in our own shoes and what we believe to say, "Hey, you know what? I know this is my job. I know this is my niche. I know this is where everybody else believes that I excel in, but you know what? I'm going to allow you to do it." When we encourage other people to do the thing that we're good at, then we can help and we can show and we can teach and we can have a moldable moment where somebody, you know, every one of us is going to pass away. Every one of us is going to leave this place. We might get moved because of job. We might just leave this earth. Whatever the case may be, at some point, we're not going to be sitting in this church. We have to pass that baton on. We have to give the discharge of the office that we hold to somebody else so that they can participate in this ministry, and so we have to encourage others to do it. Delivery is of the utmost importance. And then here's the hard part, with great patience. How easy is it for us in the middle of correcting, in the middle of rebuking, in the middle of encouraging to grow impatient with somebody because they're not doing it our way? Because they're not doing it at our speed. They're not doing it the way that we would do it. They're not laying it out exactly how we would. But the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is challenging us to have the capacity to accept or tolerate delay or trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. He wants us to have great patience. Somebody had to have great patience with us. Somebody had to take the time to show us and to teach us. And so quickly do we forget about those moments in our life when somebody else sat down and tried to help us or tried to lead us through that time. Somebody else was patient with us. We need to show that patience to someone else and with great instruction, with great direction or great order. We need to make sure that we lay things out very plainly. I've said to people before, I think I may have said this to some of you as we have started to do things and involve ourselves in ministry. I want to set people up to win. When somebody says, "I want to do this," I want them to do it well. I don't want to just throw somebody out who doesn't really know or doesn't really understand. You have to have the patience and you have to have the instruction to lay it out and say, "Okay, this is how it is. This is how it needs to be." Before service, or before practice even, Sister Deborah and I will sit down and we'll get the song list. And this morning our song list, it said, the first song is in C. The second song is in B flat. I put question marks behind the next two songs because I've been playing the drums since we sang these last two songs. And so I didn't know what key she plays them in. And so she asked me before service, "What are we doing?" I said, "Well, let's play the two keys that you know and let's figure it out." We have to have instructions so that everything is clear, so everybody knows where we are. Sometimes when I'm singing, you'll hear me say, "Open the eyes of my heart." Because when I'm playing the drums, I can't make hand signals. I can't turn and let people see where my lips are. And so Brother Jason and Sister Dana and Sister Gayla, they're going to be singing something else if they don't know where I'm going. As we preach this word, and as we prepare ourselves to discharge it in the moment when God allows us to discharge it, we have to understand that delivery is of the utmost importance. We might not ever have a time like right now to give this word to this person or to this group. And so we have to make sure that we give it in the purest form that God has given it to us, that God has anointed it to be written in His Word. We have to make sure that in the moments, even in this message, as I brought it about, in the moments when maybe it needs to be corrected, in the moments when it needs to be encouraged, in the moments when it needs to be disciplined, that emotion is laid out. Why? Because I might not ever have a time again to do it. Why? What does the Bible say right here? Let's keep reading verse 3 through 5. I'm going to close. I'm going to start in verse 1, and we're hitting verse 3 is where I am right now. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That is my charge to you this morning as we wrap this message up. Preach the word. Be ready to preach the word. Preach the word as God has put it inside of your heart with the full passion and love for Christ that you have. Why? Because tomorrow they might not want to hear it. Tomorrow you might lose the opportunity. Tomorrow they might follow somebody else. They might believe somebody else. They might hold to a different teaching than what God is telling you to do. And so today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We have to preach the word. You believe that, church? Let's bow our heads and pray.